Hi, my name is Mike Brown. I'm using a rooted Nexus One running Modaco custom ROM. I'm from Toronto, and get ready for the Android Central podcast.
Hey there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central podcast. It's episode 22 for Thursday, July 22, 2010. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host, your editor of AndroidCentral.com, and with me as every week and every day and sometimes at night, sometimes in my dreams, Jerry Hildenbrand. Jerry, what's going on?
Not much. How you doing, Phil?
I'm okay. Good to talk to you again. I haven't talked to you in a couple hours. And we also have Mickey Papillon, the cell phone junkie. Mickey, what's going on, man?
Well, not a whole lot. Got a new phone this week. Pretty excited about that one. Picked up an AT&T Nexus One from Michael Manna, who you had on the show one week when I was off back about 4 months ago. So, yeah, Michael sold me his Nexus One, and I am thrilled to finally have another Google device. It's great.
Well, let's just launch into it, because you announced that, hey, you bought a Nexus One, and the next day Google quit selling the thing. coincidental, or did you have something to do with that?
I think I bought the last one. No, I didn't buy the last one. Like I said, I bought mine from Michael, but you know what? I was truly just shocked at how quick it happened, because it was, what, last Friday when they announced, hey, Nexus One, we're just got our last shipments here. You got to figure it out. You're going to get one. And poof, Tuesday, Wednesday, whenever it was, they're gone. So that was pretty quick. Just a couple of days and they're out. So I thought it was interesting though, because like the whole website went down, did it not? At least they said that all Nexus Ones are gone.
Well, there's a big old sign, and I haven't checked today, but there's a big old sign on it yesterday. Here, it's still there. It says, sorry, folks, the Nexus One is no longer available for purchase directly from Google. For more information on how to purchase the Nexus One, check out our help center. And basically, they're selling them to developers. So if you're a dev, or if you're pretending to be a dev, I guess you can get one that way. And overseas in the UK and in Korea, I guess you can still buy them. I don't think, and everybody keeps asking this, but I don't think we're ever actually going to see them in stores in the US. I mean, it just makes no sense. Can you see AT&T or T-Mobile selling an unbranded, unsubsidized, uncrapwared, basically a phone they're not making any money on? It's not going to happen.
No.
Cincinnati Bell supposedly sells them, but they're not like in the store. You can buy them through Cincinnati Bell.
Hmm.
You know, small customer base, but then again, it's still not in the store. It's still a mail order thing. So, you know, it's not something they're really trying to promote.
All right, Mickey, the big question. Have you or are you going to root your Nexus One? Have to ask it. Have to ask.
I really wish that Jerry's router was still in bad place.
So we could deflect
the blame over to him. I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do. I keep hearing all these good things. I was reading, I think it was Kevin Toefel was talking about how the latest Cyanogen, something he just put on it, Froyo with Sense or something like that, is rocking and rolling. And I was like, well, maybe. And I don't know. I haven't taken the time to really get into that world enough yet. I jailbroke an iPhone one time and I didn't find all that much that really interested me. And so, I unjailbroke it and just never really thought about it again. I mean, yeah, there were things that I really wished I would have been able to do, but, I don't know. I just ultimately find that, I like just kind of like the general stock vanilla Android experience. It's pretty nice. I got it, you know, and picked it up or got it, yes, in the mail yesterday and got it all set up the way that I like it. And it's so great for those that have switched Android devices. You type in your Gmail email address and password and everything gets pulled down. You don't have to, I mean, not just your email, but all your apps and all. It's just so nice. I forgot about that. You know, I've been living in the world of iPhone for too long where you got to deal with iTunes and stuff. I mean, I plugged this in one time to the computer and that was just to check out the SD card and make sure that everything on the SD card was okay. So it's really, really fun. I'm liking it a lot. I've got an extra battery with it, desktop dock. And it's working pretty well so far. So I'm happy.
Hope you enjoy it because that's it. They're done. It's sad, actually.
Very.
I mean, do you think we're going to see another attempt like this ever again? People still are holding out hope that there's a Nexus 2 coming, and I don't think there is. I mean, basically what we had was a mass-produced dev phone. right? I mean, yep. And Google has done dev phones before. This is not the first time. And I just totally forgot the name. Help me out. The Ion, and then
The Ion.
The G1 was essentially the dev phone too. Or dev phone.
Yeah, the Nexus, they just took their dev phone and you didn't have to pay $25 and sign up and order it as a developer. You could just buy it.
Right.
And I don't think they're ever going to do that again, unfortunately.
It's done. It's sad. We'll just have to, keep rooting and hacking everything else. And, we're going to do that anyway, so.
Some of us are.
I'm going to pour one out for my fallen homies.
Jeez. We're going to have to have a segment of some show someday where we talk about all the benefits of rooting and go into the details on it, because
we'll do a rooting special. That's what we'll do. A rooting and ROM special.
Perfect.
Nice.
That's all we'll talk about. But not
tonight. And I'll sit there like the student, because I won't have any idea what you guys are talking about.
Well, that's perfect, because you'll ask the questions that everybody wants to know the answers to.
That's right. And great. I will just say, Jerry, what do you think about that over and over when I don't have the answer?
And I'll just fake my way through it.
All right. Well, the chat room wants it now, but we got a bunch of stuff to talk about today, so we'll get to it for another show. So let's move on.
Let's talk Droid X for a little bit. The Droid X has been rooted. Hooray! A lot of headlines today kept saying Droid X rooted, eFuse be damned, and one really doesn't have anything to do with the other. The whole eFuse thing, if you remember from last week, or maybe the week before, I can't remember, is supposedly that ticking time bomb that if you try to mess with the bootloader or anything that you need to do a custom ROM, to load it up, the phone would break itself, and then Motorola came back and said, no, it's not going to break itself, it'll just reboot into recovery, and then you're stuck there for a little while. But it's been rooted. That has nothing to do with this. This is entirely different. Jerry, can you explain that in like 30 seconds or less?
Like the Evo and the Incredible both got rooted, but they were still kind of locked. We're at that point with the X now. It's just going to be a little bit harder to unlock the X if it's possible at all.
Bingo.
The NAND, it's called NAND, it's flash memory, and when the phone boots, the kernel locks the NAND so you can't read and write to it in the way that we want to do it. So we just got to figure out a way around it.
And somebody will. I'm sure it's only a matter of time. Maybe.
Yeah, I hope so. Just so we can kind of hold one up and shake it at Motorola and say, nanny, nanny, boo, boo. And, maybe they won't want to do it anymore.
That update that I got on my review unit droid like a week and a half before everybody else finally started pushing out, Monday night, Tuesday night? Forget when. And at right about the same time, people started reporting screen issues. Not many. I think we need to reiterate that when you see stories like this, it's not, necessarily just a mass, oh my God, screens everywhere are dying, there are people in the streets, babies are being left on doorsteps. No. I mean, a few screens had problems. Sounds like it was a small... I don't know if they ever figured out or announced if it was a software or hardware thing, but if you have a problem with your screen, take it back to the Verizon store. They'll bring you a new phone. Not that big a deal. Certainly not as widespread as, some stories would make it sound. So I think I'm done talking about that. Should we talk about the battery thing?
Yes. Oh, that irks me.
All right, this started out as actually one of our forum mods, said, hey, if you get a minute, do a video on the Droid X battery because people are having problems with it. And I was like, really? Because, when I first got the phone, I opened up the back, I saw this little tab that said pull, and, it was pretty obvious. You pull it to open the thing up and get the battery out. But somebody, it was a story somebody did on Slashdot, I think, that made sense. If you get your phone shipped to you, it's not going to have the battery already installed, right? So you open up the back of this thing to put the battery in, and you see a little tab, and the tab says pull. And then the thing that the tag is attached to says do not cut, which kind of implies that you're supposed to pull it and not cut it.
Yep.
I can see where the confusion is. So actually, back at the time, I did a video, and it was kind of snarky, tapping my fingers. I'm like, look, really? We're having problems with this. You can't get your battery out. So I almost never apologize for snark, but in this case... I'll apologize a little, maybe not the whole way, but that's what the tab's for. It's for getting the battery out once the battery is in. no two ways around it, I guess. But I could see how it could be a problem. So please don't void your warranty. And the Slashdot story said that basically if you rip the FCC info off, then your warranty is voided and you're screwed if you ever need to return the thing.
Yeah. I talked to that lady. She's actually on our forum. She registered, and I had a little PM conversation with her. Yeah. And, you know, she's more disappointed than anything else. She didn't want to take her phone back.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she asked, what do I do now? This whole thing came off. Is this what's supposed to be? And then she got the word that, no, sorry, and guess what? Your warranty's voided. And personally, I have a big problem with that. It says, pull, don't cut. I can see my mom or your mom or somebody saying, oh, I better pull this.
Yeah.
And it doesn't say don't pull the sticker off. It just says pull. So warranty void, I don't buy that. That's just wrong. Motorola, if you listen to us, Verizon, that's wrong. Don't do that to people. That doesn't affect the way the phone works. Just put a new sticker on it when you recondition it.
Yeah. Should be pretty easy, I would think. That's weird. It was such a weird thing. But
yep.
What are you going to do? Oh, what else? And apparently you Droid X users out there are using 5 times the amount of data as anybody else on Verizon. So either be very proud of yourself or feel horrible that you're sucking up everybody's data, I guess. We don't really want an iPhone on Verizon, do we?
Well, Phil, you know what? I'm kind of thinking that somehow or another that got taken out of context.
You think?
Do you see the Droid X using 5 times the data as the Incredible?
Maybe. No. I mean, the phone's the phone, right?
Right.
Maybe because of the widgets that are on there by default, but I don't think that this non-blur, fill blur, moto blur, whatever, would suck in more data than Sense. I think Sense is probably pretty data intensive. I don't know. Maybe they mean aggregate? I really have no idea.
Yeah, I would love to see some hard numbers to know exactly what they meant. Because I can see, yeah, the Droid X uses 5 times the data as the previous LG feature phone that we've hard launched. But to use 5 times more than any other phone, that's kind of hard for me to swallow. But then again, I'm just a skeptical idiot, so.
Well, you're half right.
Okay.
I also have the T-Mobile Vibrant showed up this week. I love this phone. All right, it's not much different from the Captivate. Really, the only difference is the shape of the thing, the body, and some of the apps on there, but to me, that's a small thing. Really, it's the shape of the thing. I don't know why, but I just don't like the shape of the Captivate. I don't like the sharp edges and the angular, and I mean, there's nothing wrong with it. It's a great phone, but I like round. I like soft. It's like a baby or a woman or a bottle of beer. I don't know. I just hate that T-Mobile doesn't have 3G where I live. I'm sad.
Move.
I should.
Yeah, there you go. Either totally like move. The phone with the hard edges or just move.
Or wait for Verizon to come out with it. And we still don't know when that is.
Yeah.
At all. I have no idea. They won't. I asked this week. They won't tell me. I don't know.
Well, they don't want to take away from their big push for a very nice phone that they have out right now. And I really don't blame them.
Do you think the Fascinate is going to come before or after the Droid 2, which is still unannounced?
After.
After? What do you think, Mickey?
I think so, too. I think we need another Droid here. It's been, what, like 5 days? So we need another Droid-branded device to come out. Now, I think we've seen more about the Droid 2, so I think that's going to be here. I think we was thinking, what, mid-August, somewhere in there?
We saw a ton of leaks in the past just like 2 or 3 days. Engadget says August 12th, they heard. We've seen like 13 more pictures of the damn thing, kind of the render pictures that got pulled out of like a flash thing somewhere. And I keep thinking back to the hands-on that Android and me actually had. I mean, this thing is out there, right? It's around. It's time. Let's see the thing. I mean, how many more ways can it leak out? Just waiting for to do their day before review, and then we'll be ready to go, I guess.
We've seen pictures with, you know, a serial number property of Verizon on it. That's a phone that somebody's out using to test how it works. So it's close. Uh-huh. Let me throw out a conspiracy theory. August 12th is the day that they're throwing around for the Droid 2,
yes.
The R2-D2 version. August 12th is also the date of a huge Star Wars convention. I think it's in Orlando.
Yeah, so somebody mentioned that in the Engadget comments, actually. Yeah. That sounds right. I could see that.
Yeah, maybe not in stores on the 12th, but I could see a big release, you know, gala presentation at the Star Wars convention.
Which would be damn cool. Leo Laporte on This Week in Google said that he bought a Droid X, and when he did, they told him Froyo was coming for the Droid X on August 15th. So take that how you will. I know nothing other than what Leo has said. So maybe it's true, maybe it's not. I don't know. We'll see.
So Leo didn't email you and get that information from you is what you're telling us?
Not so much. He got it from somebody in a store, and you know how that goes. So
yeah.
The Motorola i1 is officially coming to Sprint on July 25th. Hey, that's like 3 days from now.
Yep, Sunday.
Sunday. So sorry, had to do it. $150, you get push-to-talk. Does anyone still use push-to-talk?
Beep, beep. People in front of me at the grocery store in line do all the time.
I hate those things. Mickey, do you like them? Do you hate them? Do you get a lot of those out there?
I don't know that it's a matter of like or hate. I think it's a matter of functionality. And, you know, there are certain times when it's good to have push to talk and certain, you know, I'll just say industries that use it more regularly than others. And it's good that it's still around, but I wouldn't say that I'm a big user of it. In fact, I haven't used it in probably 6 years or so. I had Nextel for a while at one point, but it's been a while. So
they drive me nuts. But that's just me. Sprint Epic 4G. Don't know when it's coming, but it has passed the FCC. Could be any time now. Could be right now.
Hey, if they wanted to, they could.
Wait, is that? Nope, not yet. Nope, not yet either. Still not here. Okay. Don't know when. It's coming. Eventually.
As soon as we know, you all know. Everybody's looking forward to that one, too.
Yes. Quit asking. That's kind of what I'm getting at. Galaxy S is coming to Rogers in Canada. Woohoo! I can't say enough about the Galaxy S phones. I really am excited. I know I got to finish the reviews. I think we're just going to do one big review on both of them. I really am stoked about these phones. TouchWiz, don't worry about it. It's easy. It's sweet. It's nice. I'm rubbing the Captivate right now, actually. Caressing longingly.
They've already been rooted and unlocked wide open. They've already got a recovery, you know, set up for it.
Yeah, so they just did that like yesterday, the day before.
Yep. Hackers out there, the Galaxy S is a go.
You know, let's talk about this. A lot of people keep asking, well, what about the, you know, I like the Galaxy S stuff, but I'm worried about Samsung supporting the phones. I haven't been a Samsung user in a long time, so I'm probably a little behind on that. I assume we're talking about, like, the Moment or something else that was just left for dead.
The Behold 2 is a big...
Behold 2, yeah. Well, I mean, look, is there really a reason that phone should not be left for dead? And I know I'm going to get crap from everybody who owns one for saying that, but, I mean, is that a phone that you want to carry into the future if you're Samsung?
No. I mean, it can't. It just doesn't have the hardware. It doesn't have the room to do anything more than they're doing with it.
There you go. Jerry.Hildenbrand at AndroidCentral.com.
Well, yeah.
Where you send your hate mail, not to me.
That's right. I've used one, and it's a neat little phone. It would be nice to see it, you know, get a little boost from 2.2, but the memory isn't big enough. It won't fit. Maybe your favorite hacker can fit it on there, but Samsung can't because Samsung has to make it work for everybody.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think they're going to take care of the Galaxy S. I'm really not worried about that at all. They wouldn't have gone to the trouble of launching, you know, four phones on four carriers and then regionals at the same time and pulling all the press together and just making such a big deal about it if they were just going to let it die.
They're not going to let it die.
Yeah. No way.
Especially all the push they're putting behind it. They're making their own videos, and anybody that uses Twitter and is following Samsung on Twitter, it's just a nonstop push for the whole Galaxy S line. They're behind it big time.
the engineers I met up in New York, I mean, they're all just excited. They're stoked about these phones. And I was thinking about it today. I don't remember any of them carrying... I know a bunch of them were carrying Captivates. I was trying to remember, like, if they had the Epics out there with them or not, or just how close things could be. So, I don't know. What else? The Dell Streak is on its way anytime now. Dell says late July, which is now. So, any day now, we should see some sort of, quote, pre-sale availability, whatever that means. I'm not entirely sure how much free stuff you get with it. You get, like, free second-day shipping. I'm real tempted to maybe possibly get one. We'll see. I don't know. It's 5 inches is weird. Like, if you see it up next to an iPad, it just doesn't make sense. But 5 inches still looks nice.
I think that's a great substitution for an Android tablet.
Mm-hmm.
Is another way to look at it. I'm wanting to play with one really bad too.
When I haven't used one since Barcelona, since February, and you know, when I did, it's still Android 1.6. It's still bleh. You saw a bunch of kind of preview reviews this week that all echoed the same thing. It hasn't changed much since then. I'm not sure if that'll keep me from... I tell you, if you worry about the future of a device, that's what I worry about. I worry about that one being kept up.
Agreed.
So, we'll see. We got a quick fix for GPS on these Galaxy S phones. Wow, should have raised that up about 3 stories in the list, shouldn't I? I went out back as Jerry and I were talking about this and testing it. And if you saw my picture in the comments, I mean, my GPS connected fairly quickly, I guess. It took like a minute from a cold start. My problem was they said I was headed in different directions.
Ouch.
I think that, yeah, like 50, 60 degrees off. It was really weird. So I don't know what's going on with that. I got to play with it some more and read up some more and see if anybody else is having issues. But basically, you just have to reset some of the kind of serverish type information and you'll lock in quicker or at all. So cool. But supposedly they're going to fix that in an update.
Did you try the fix?
I did.
And see if
it seemed to connect a little faster. Yeah. It still shows me like there's something wrong with the compass or something.
Yeah.
Because the GPS won't show you which way you're facing. That's a compass thing. So I tried like moving away from any metal. I tried holding it away from my body. I tried putting the iPhone death grip on it. That didn't work.
There it is. You were holding it wrong.
Yeah, I was. I don't know what was going on with it, but it, you know, said I was facing two different directions. It was just really, really weird.
Well, which one was right?
Yeah, that was what I was going to ask.
After a little while, neither of them.
Ooh. Wait. Mm-hmm. Could they be affecting each other that close together on your hand?
Possibly. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know enough about the compasses in these things.
I'm not sure if it has any magnetic, you know, I don't know if it does anything magnetically or not. You know, it could actually get your position and force a fake compass heading with that, or it could be a magnetic compass. I'm not sure which it is.
All right, I'm trying it right now. Both of them pointing the same direction, just about north, I think. One of them saying 240-ish degrees. It's still bouncing around. And one of them saying 300, 315, 340. So something's a little jacked up.
Yeah, that's something that needs addressed. Let's hope it's just one of your phones with an issue and not an overall.
Yeah, I don't know. We'll have to do some hunting and see. Because I have no idea. We saw a really weird kind of portrait slider keyboard Motorola Verizon looking thing, and it looked like it had the Droid Eye on it, which could mean it's a Droid phone, could mean it had a picture of a Droid Eye on it. So.
Or it's just a weird, big blurry red marble. It's really hard to tell from the picture.
It was the son of, I don't know. Yeah. So, I don't know. I mean, is anybody still looking for a portrait slider? I mean, look how quickly the pre kind of fell out of favor.
Android. I am, but I don't want a 2.5-inch screen portrait slider. I want one with a 3.7, 3.9-inch screen. Build one, and I'll buy it.
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be big enough. That's my biggest problem about the pre, besides, you know, the early ones are slow, but the screen's just too small for me now. Somebody in the chat room says, the picture seemed fake, like the blur seemed almost deliberate. Somebody asked that. It's like, how can people take such blurry cam pictures? Is it really that tough?
Well, wow. Maybe they're taking a picture of something. Yeah. They're taking a picture of something that they shouldn't be, and they're doing it like real quick with a camera in their pocket or something.
Yeah, don't hate until you have to do it yourself. So, that's kind of it for the hardware. A lot of, not a busy week. I guess the death of the Nexus One's the big thing. Let's talk some other OS update stuff. The latest numbers on Android came out. Android 2.1 is now on 58% of devices. Saw a lot of headlines that said it's on more than half, and it's actually been on more than half for like a month now. So that's not really new. Android 2.2 showed up in the first one 2 weeks ago, and it's growing a little more now. Not much to say, really, until we start getting more devices on Froyo, which hopefully will be any time now. The incredible, they're saying what? Like now? Sometime soon, maybe.
Yeah, kind of unofficially, officially, that's what they had to say.
The Vodafone Nexus One is getting it as we speak, we believe, or very, very soon, they said, over the next week. So, good for you guys in the UK.
Yep.
Talked about CyanogenMod a little bit earlier. They've got the nightly builds for the Evo coming out now. Nothing release candidate or anything yet, but those are coming. And it works well. Took me a little while to downgrade, so I could load the thing back up again. But now that I have, it works fine. What else? Motorola Click 2.1. Woohoo! I guess.
No, I'm glad, because that's, without that leak, the Click XT and any of the variants, they're kind of dead in the water, without Motorola at least, putting their touch on Blur to work with Froyo. So I'm happy for those, Eclair. I'm happy for those guys. A lot of people like Blur.
It's just so hard to say out loud, like, this phone's getting 2.1 when we're waiting on Froyo for the others. It's tough. Cellular South Hero got 2.1 this week. T-Mobile has pulled the Behold 2 update. Speaking of the poor Behold 2. Don't know when it's coming back. Probably won't. But, let's face it.
But good on T-Mobile for that. They heard from a couple customers. There's a problem, so T-Mobile just stopped. Let's find the problem and do it right.
Yeah, I shouldn't say it's not coming back. I'm sure they'll re-release it when they fix whatever was broken. And there's another maintenance release for the Droid Aris coming out. I still don't know where we're going to go after that. Probably not too far officially. But the thing's been rooted, right? You can ROM it, so.
Oh yeah, yeah. You can fix up your Aris, if you want to go that direction. That's another one I'm glad to see, though, because the Aris had a big problem for a lot of people, and supposedly this takes care of that.
Let's talk some apps. People say we should talk more apps. Let's talk some apps.
Let's talk some apps.
Let's talk about the most exciting app to come out, at least in the past 2 days. It's not even in the Android market. You can only get it at androidcentral.com. And that is the Android Sideload Wonder Machine. I didn't realize that the name came from the chat room.
Yeah, they thought it up last week. And I loved it.
Guys are nuts. I was like, oh, that's a total Jerry name. But chat room, kudos. Great name. Because I'm like emailing these other sites. I'm like, hey, we came up with a cool way to basically say AT&T, your whole sideload thing. Yeah, screw you. And then I'm typing sideload Wonder Machine. I'm like, really? That's our name for this thing. So Jerry, why don't you talk about it for a second? Tell us what it does.
Well, if you have a phone on a certain carrier who doesn't want AT&T. Who doesn't want you to sideload apps? Sideload apps means you download it either, on your computer and you install it without using the market. There's a setting in Android that allows you to do that, and AT&T had it stripped out. And it was easy to get around if you were technical and wanted to fool with the SDK or routing or any of this other stuff. But, I don't know what brought it up. Phil and I were talking last week, and it kind of hit us both like a bolt of lightning. I'll bet we can make something so people don't have to fool with the SDK or root their phone. They can just plug it in, press a button, and load an app. And we kind of got it worked out. You know, it's, you still have to have the USB driver installed for your phone. You get that from the manufacturer's website. And you have to keep everything together in the folder that it's in. And you have to have .NET 4.0. If you get all those criteria set up, you should be able just to plug your phone in, hit a button, pick the application that you've downloaded, hit another button, and wait while it loads it to your phone, and then it tells you it's done. And it worked really great for us for testing. Most everybody is not having any problems with it. We're still getting a few people with, you know, why is this happening? But so far, nothing we haven't been able to determine that, I don't want to use the words user error, but we've got it figured out pretty well, I think.
I think so. And if you do have a problem, let us know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want this to work for everyone.
Works for me. I use it just because I'm lazy sometimes. If I have a phone plugged in already, I don't want to have to unplug it just to load an app, right? No, it works really well. It's all, you know, entirely legal stuff. This isn't, you know, some back channel thing to sticking it to AT&T. It just, you know, uses the tools available to load an app.
And Cobra 85 EC, will it work on the Arcos? If Arcos provides a USB ADB driver, it will work.
I'm sure they do, right?
They should. You know, there'd be no development for it if they don't provide one. So,
Renee from Tippy says, hey, can I use this to sideload on my iPhone? Like, sorry, man.
No. I don't think we can manufacture one of those, or people will be breaking into Phil's house and taking his computers away.
Mickey, any of these apps we've seen this week tickle your fancy at all?
You know, I've had just you know, like 24 hours since I've been playing with the Nexus again, so I have not really had much time to do much of anything yet. I don't know. No,
you're a Google Voice guy, so the Google Voice update we got today should be interesting for you.
Basically, okay, yeah, let's talk about it, because we've had people talking about this in the chat room basically all night. So, yeah. All right, here we are. Google Voice has updated it, so now you get faster dialing. Mm-hmm. Direct numbers, so when you make a call, you're connected to an access number that's assigned, I guess, to every to that particular person. Every person you call gets assigned an access number. So there's no data being used anymore. When you click call, it calls that number and I guess just forwards the call over to that person or something like that. I'm not sure exactly how they do it. I'm guessing there's a set number of phone numbers that they have, and when I call that phone number, it recognizes my caller ID and then forwards the phone number maybe. I don't really know how this works yet, because obviously they don't have 8 jillion numbers to give out so that every person has a separate phone number, right?
Yeah. Before, I think it was done based on location, because I noticed when I make a call from here at home, it calls a Miami number. But when I was up in New York, it called a different number, and I don't know where. Mm. So, interesting.
So,
people are
a
little worried.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead, sir.
No, because my question is stupid, so you go ahead.
Well, then let's get it out of the way.
I can't figure out how to update Google Voice.
You're using a Nexus, right?
Yeah.
It's not in my app.
You can't update it on a Nexus One yet.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
The Nexus One has it built into the system.
Maybe stock.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no place for me to update this. I mean, how would it get updated? It came with the phone. I mean, it would have to be, it's a full.
That's still update. No, it depends on where it's installed, right?
All right, let's hear it.
I'm completely wrong. Okay. Cyanogen mod, you cannot update. On stock, you should be able to through the market. If you're not seeing it in the market, could that be an AT&T thing?
I just updated it on CM today.
Through the market?
Yeah.
Huh. Okay. I am completely, absolutely wrong. Just edit that part out.
Under what? Under downloads?
Yeah. Should be in there.
Yep. See, because I can't do it either.
If you have it installed in the first place. I don't think
I have it installed. This is the only way I can make calls.
No, it's not built into the ROM.
It's not in my downloads.
Hmm. then I'm not sure you have it installed. Search for Google Voice in the market and make sure it's actually installed.
I don't have it installed. Of course I have it installed. How do you think I make phone calls?
With a phone? I'm just saying. You're throwing out. Make sure it's plugged in. Have you turned it off and on?
Are you not holding it where your finger touches the corner?
I bet it would work if it was rooted.
It just rooted. Hold on.
The one issue people are kind of having is beforehand, like if you had the T-Mobile My Faves or whatever the programs are on the other carriers, I don't know. But you would set your Google Voice number to that, and so you would essentially get free calls. And people are a little upset because that has since changed. I think what I've seen, and I haven't been following this all afternoon, but basically people are saying, well, you know, if they're assigning a number to each person, you can just add those numbers to your thing. And that's okay. I guess that's kind of a workaround, but not, yeah, it's not the same.
Okay. So I just found it. I searched for it. I found it in the market. It does not say that it's installed. How is it not installed? It's on the phone. Why would I install it again?
It's different.
It's different.
The Nexus One, when they first came out, the Nexus One, it was built in and native, and you automatically were enrolled even if you didn't get an invite.
Yeah.
So right, I'm not whatever. Sure.
Okay.
Just re-download it, Mickey.
Whoa. Why? Why should I re-download it?
If you want the new version.
I have it. I can make calls with it. What do I care? It takes, what, a half a second longer?
I don't know.
It's not
what?
The newest.
It's not the newest. Oh. I'm downloading the new Google Voice, and I'm not rooting. That's it. We're done.
I don't know.
If I had a Vuvuzela app loaded, I would blow it right now. I got an email. I got an email this week that said, I really like your podcast, and then out of nowhere came this Vuvuzela. The guys on the Crackberry podcast would never do that. At which point I knew it was a joke. Anyway, all right, let's talk some other apps. Launcher Pro is now Launcher Pro Plus. You get enhancements, and in exchange, you pay money for it. It's like $3 or something. I would totally do it. Have I not gotten it yet? I might not have. I can't tell. Mickey, can you tell me if I've downloaded this app?
How could I tell you that?
All right, now
look in downloads and see if it's there, Mickey.
What are you talking about?
Nothing. Never mind.
What are we doing here? I'm leaving.
Screw you guys. I'm going home. The Barnes & Noble Nook app is out for Android. And the Nook, as you all should know, is BN's Android-based e-reader. It's like $150 now. Does anybody have one? Mickey, are you a Kindle guy? Do you have any of these?
I don't read. I read tech news. That's what I read. That's all. It's really sad. I've got a fantastic library, and I never read books. So there's no sense for me to get an e-reader.
Yeah, I've thought about it. Like, I could use one just because I could use one, I guess. But I never use it. I've tried. Have you guys tried like the Kindle app or the Nook app or anything on your phone? Do you want to read books on your phone?
I have tried it. I've tried the Kindle app just for the heck of it, just to see what it is, and there's all the, you know, the free books that you can download, and I read like 2 pages, and I was like, okay, well, I don't even want to read the book anyway, even if it was paper, so I'm not going to continue doing this. It's too small. I think the dedicated e-readers that are out there are nice, and I like that you can sync, you know, the Whisper Sync that Kindle has, I think is really great for people who have lots of books and want, you know, to use it across multiple multiple devices and whatnot. But I don't know. I just the screen is too small. I think on the Droid X or something, you know, something a little bit bigger, then you're probably okay. But this one is, on like a 3.5 or 4 inch screen.
I've tried it on the X. No. I tried it on the X when the Kindle app came out. And it's nice that the words are bigger, but you don't get more words per page.
Right.
Is the thing. So it's like, okay, they're bigger, but I want more words. I don't know. I'm a book guy. I want to hold it in my hand. I want a book. That's me.
See, I'm the opposite. I read on my Evo all the time, but I use Aldico because I like EPUB books and I have a big collection of them. Mm. And, I don't have any problems reading on the phone other than, like you said, once you get the letters big enough to read comfortably, every 15 seconds you're swiping to the next page.
I'll have to try that. Aldico, huh?
So I have a totally separate topic to talk about here. And,
yes.
And that has to do with external battery or extra batteries. Do you have an extra battery, Phil?
For my Nexus, I have two extra batteries, actually.
You have extra batteries.
I keep a Sadio 1650 milliamp hour battery in it all the time as my daily thing. So then I have a stock battery extra. And then I got an extended battery partially to review it and partially for traveling. I wanted it. So yeah, when I travel, I have three batteries for this thing.
So how do you, okay. So number one, what's your charging regimen? How do you charge these things? Swap them out on the phone. Pop it on
most
the charger.
Most of the time, well, like only time I need the extra batteries when I'm traveling, right? Because the rest of the time I'm just sitting at home. Right. So yeah, I just keep one charged and then swap them out, and then when I get back to the hotel at night or whatever, I charge one up as quick as I can, and swap them out and go to sleep.
Swap it out meaning it's just in the phone and you just pull it back
just pop
off.
It out. I just pull the battery, slap a new one in, and reboot.
Is there a good, like, third-party charging solution? I hate the fact that I have to charge the battery in the phone. That just seems counterintuitive, doesn't it?
I think, and we might have one in the store, I'm not sure. No, somebody makes a dock that has, like, the extra space to charge a battery at the same time.
I was all excited because I thought most docks came with a place to charge the extra battery, and the Nexus One definitely does not.
Definitely does not. Now, let me look. I know somebody
I'm
makes one.
I'm looking here, too. Yes, actually Sadeo makes one.
Yeah, we saw them in like some of the official Google videos way back. We saw that exact same dock. So somebody there had one, which was interesting. No, that's absolutely.
My idea of having extra batteries or an extra battery is that, and I have, honestly, the last phone I had that had more than one battery was the Motorola Q. So that tells you how long ago I had a phone that had more than one battery with it.
Q came with two batteries.
Certain models did. My Verizon model did not. It just came with the thin one, but I went and I actually bought the Verizon branded, extra one or whatever. I used it in a way that I could just swap them out and charge them in the dock and never ever plugged in the phone. And I thought that was great. I mean, that was like my idea of having an extra battery. And like, okay, so here's my scenario. So today, of course, it's like my first official day with this new phone, so I'm playing with it a lot and stuff like that. About 3 o'clock, I get down to about 25%, and I'm thinking, okay, on my drive home tonight, I'm going to want to make sure I have a full battery, make some phone calls, listen to some music, stream music, whatever. And so I swapped out the battery. And by the time I get home, that battery was at like 75%. And so I just threw it on the dock right now and charged it up to 100%. Well, that one battery is done now, but now my other battery is at 25%. I just pulled the phone off the dock and took out the battery, put the other battery in, put it back on the dock. And I'm like, okay, so I got to let this battery charge up now for the next couple of hours until I don't know. Like what, I don't know. Maybe someone's got a better idea on how to do this. You know, I don't know.
My Mobi products, $25 in the store, not to pimp our stuff, but there's your answer.
Okay. Take a look.
Sweet. My 401k,
I had another question too about something about regimen.
I'm sorry.
What did I do?
Sorry.
That was Phil. It was
said my 401k thank you. That's our old newspaper line. Every time someone would buy a newspaper, my 401k thank you. Actually, now it's a 201k.
Yeah.
No respect. Yeah. No respect. Anyway.
So I have no idea what my other question was. It doesn't really matter. Other than no, I got nothing. We can move
any
on.
Other apps you guys? Hey, you know, the coolest app that we didn't talk about last week that I'm loving is that antenna app that shows you where the cell towers are that you're connected to and how far away they are, and it shows them to you on a Google map. I mean, it's kind of pointless and very nerdy, but very cool too.
Okay, you mentioned that last week, and I totally forgot about it. What's it called?
Yeah, antenna or antennas. I forget which.
It's in the market.
Antennas. Yeah. I can't remember if I had to pay for it.
You never realize that every show is going to be like Mickey going, oh, what is that? I need to get that.
What is this Android thing you were talking about?
Wow, this is great. Look at these apps. It's so much better than the iPhone.
Well, as long as you keep saying that, it's okay. So as long as we're talking store stuff, should we give something away?
Should we give away a case?
Let's see. leave it up to the chat room. We'll see who has more of what kind of phone. And we'll do it by applause. So if you know.
What?
Seeing if you guys were listening. Okay. Let's do some voicemails and emails, shall we?
Certainly.
You want to do email first or voicemail?
Let's do email, sorry.
Okay.
I think the first one's for me. I remember if I read this right. Hold on, let me pull it back up here. Oh, yes. This one's from Jason, and Jason says, does Verizon have better 3G coverage due to them having more cell towers than AT&T, or do CDMA signals travel farther than GSM? Once Verizon switches to LTE, will it cover roughly the same area as their 3G, or is their 4G coverage going to be about the same as AT&T? And this is why I said it was for me. He'll stop giving Mickey trouble for not rooting his phone. Sometimes it's nice not to know that the warranty is still valid on a $500 device. So there. So, Jason, the coverage that you see, and I'm guessing you live in an area where Verizon works better than AT&T, because you're asking that question in a way that makes me kind of think that. And I always say this, and it's whether or not it's true in your area or not, there are certain carriers that will be better than other carriers. And it's not to say that Verizon is better everywhere, but they do seem to have more robust 3G coverage. And when you look at a map side by side, of course, you do see that Verizon has more coverage. And what I will tell you is that for the most part, it's because Verizon has had a much longer time to build out their 3G networks than AT&T has. Or they've been building them out longer. Maybe they haven't have to. I suppose anyone could have been building them out. But so Verizon started with their two 3G trials in Washington, D.C. and San Diego back in, I believe it was 2003. AT&T didn't really start to roll out their 3G network until sometime around 2006. So that 3 years may not seem like a lot, but look at this coverage that they have side by side, and that's going to tell you quite a bit. Also, Verizon in many areas used to be either AirTouch, or there were a couple other carriers that were out there that Verizon eventually kind of became. They brought all these carriers together. And so when they did that, these older carriers were the ones that were the initial A or B side analog providers in that particular market. Back in the 80s, when the FCC set up the cellular markets, they said, okay, we don't want to have monopolies, so we're going to have two carriers per every major market that's out there. And so they put together, two, depending on who it was, AT&T or AirTouch or whoever it was at the time, Altel was in there too. And those two networks got 850 megahertz on either side of it spectrum. And so they used that spectrum to build out their networks. And when they did, they built the network in a way that was very good for that particular area. Then the 90s come along, and you've got all this other competition, and we start to move towards digital. And all the networks are then having to build out their coverage in the 1900 megahertz spectrum. Not that it's worse. It's just different. The wavelength is smaller or shorter, and so it has different propagation attributes to it. So whether or not it's better or not is totally up for debate. Either way, the Verizon coverage that you're seeing in an area has many different factors that go into it. It's not just they have more cell towers or not. In many cases, they do have more towers that have 3G. Service on them than AT&T does. But CDMA signals do not necessarily travel further than GSM signals. It's still a radio wave. The CDMA versus GSM thing is the technology that's running on the actual physical equipment that's sitting at the cell site. There's no CDMA signal versus GSM signal. It's all RF. So that's what that is. When Verizon switches over to LTE, guess what? It's going to be totally different, even from how we have it now. The spectrum that Verizon has acquired is in the 700 megahertz range, and that particular range is, I would say, closer to the propagation frequencies of how the 800 megahertz range is than the 1900 megahertz range. So you're going to see, I would say, better in-building coverage, and you're going to probably see towers that don't need to be spaced quite as closely together. So I would say hopefully we're going to see coverage that is similar to what we have right now versus maybe what you're seeing from AT&T. So anyway, so that's what I have to say about that.
Yeah. I agree.
Was that too much? Was that? I'm sorry. I won't do that again.
Well, no, you answered the question very thoroughly.
I agree.
I enjoy hearing it. And to me, I'm the only one that matters, so.
Actually, that's very appropriate because over the weekend we started seeing some leaks in Gadget Got Some, and we actually had a little one ourselves that LTE is quite very much on the way. And I think I saw a date somewhere for LTE on Verizon, like early November. I'm excited about that, actually, because I want – I'm not going to get it here. Who am I kidding? But I want it. Or, you know, T-Mobile 3G would be nice, too. Anyway, I digress. Let's see. Nemo writes, do you know or do you know anybody who knows if any of the CDMA Android phones work with the Straight Talk service? Straight Talk is a division of TracFone and uses the Verizon network. I know nothing about that. Mickey, another one for you? Perhaps. Okay.
Well, okay. So you're mentioning how CDMA Android phones. So there's a handful of devices that work on Sprint and Verizon. And will they work with the Straight Talk service? Yeah, technically, I guess they could, but is TracFone going to activate an Android phone for you that comes from the Verizon network? You're going to have to know somebody. That's all there is to it. The way that CDMA devices work is they require
you. We were close. Sorry. Was that out loud?
Oh, all right. I'm done. We're done here. I won't dig into it then. That's fine. So there's an MSL code, right? So that MSL code is a six-digit code that is basically the security code. It's kind of a way to get into the phone to program it to do what you want to with it. It's interesting on the CDMA side versus GSM. You know, we use SIM cards in GSM, and it's super easy. You just move your SIM around and no big deal as long as the phone is unlocked. Now, on the CDMA side, though, if you're a Sprint customer, your six-digit MSL code is some random six-digit number. You've got a million to one odd, or one in a million odds that you're going to actually pick the right number, and so you need to contact Sprint to figure out what that particular code is. On the Verizon side, if you've got a Verizon device, the MSL code is 000000. And that particular code is necessary to do any sort of programming onto the device to get it to go onto another CDMA network. That all sounds nice and easy because I've packaged it in this nice little box that sounds like it should be easy to do. It's not. And so you really need to find someone who sells the TracFone Straight Talk service to program the phone for you. There are people out there, certain third-party resellers that will repurpose CDMA devices for networks like Cricket. That's a big one because, of course, they have really, really cheap service, and you can get, you know, $35 a month, unlimited minutes. And so maybe you've got a phone that you used on Sprint or Verizon before. You can bring it there, and they will, quote, flash the phone and, you know, use what they need to do and get that phone working for you on that network. It's not going to be, I think, as easy as just saying, yeah, I want to activate this on TracFone. You're going to have to know somebody.
Okay.
That works for me.
If you guys like that, you're really going to like this next email.
And I get to read it. All right. Everybody listen up here.
No, I mean, it rips into me. You're going
to
love it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm happy I get to read it. Elliot writes, hey, guys, love the podcast, but I need to clear something up. On last week's show, Phil talked about the Samsung Galaxy S phones and the skinning that Samsung has done. He's made the statement that skinned Android phones like HTC Sense and the new Moto Blur and now TouchWiz are made that way, and we shouldn't ask or even want to know if these can be turned off. I quote, leave the UI alone. It's a Sense, Blur, or TouchWiz phone for a reason. They were intended to be that way, and I'm fine with that. And now the juicy part. But Phil, I'm calling bull. The day after the show on the blog, you posted a photo of the Droid X with the ADW launcher on it. Why? Is it because you don't like Blur or because you needed to test the compatibility of other skins with the device? We hate skins and so do you. Be honest. You didn't leave phones untouched in the WinMo days and I'm betting you don't now. So why expect us to? And honestly, guys, Samsung's TouchWiz looks like a cartoon. I will agree with the cartoon part, and then I will turn this over to our beloved host, Phil.
The answer to that question is yes. Look, and I think I said this last week, I have actually gone back on that statement a little bit. The launchers are getting better, and especially with the update that ADW got last week, it has gotten much faster. I don't like, you know, the first question to be out of somebody's mouth before you even try the phone is, can I turn it off? You know, go try the thing first. That's all I want. Why do I try launchers on other phones? Because that's my job, because that's what I do. Because you guys ask, hey, can I use this launcher? And I try it. And you know what? I don't always take it off right away because I have a half dozen phones here to test and to work with. So, sorry. From time to time, you're going to catch me saying something contradictory because I've spent my entire life doing that. you know, it's not that big a deal, guys. Relax.
And there you have it.
Mickey, do you still love me?
I'm sorry. I'm playing with antennas over here. So...
Left-handed?
No, right-handed. I got my left hand on the mouse. I'm one of those guys.
But to be fair, guys, Phil had to say it eloquently. You would jump his case if he told you, hey, look how great ADW launcher works on the Droid X, and he didn't test it long enough to see if it really worked good. So cut him some slack.
No, and I didn't like ADW all that much until like the past week when I got that update. It was pretty darn sluggish, actually, when you got into the launcher itself. So,
but you know, my point was, you know, it doesn't matter if you like it or not. You have to do it.
Right. I mean, that's my job. I need to test it. Let's not go that far.
Well, I listen to you. Let's put it that way.
Mickey, you want the next one?
Yeah, and you know what? Antenna's kind of silly here. This is there's no way this.
Oh, I'm sorry. You meant the app. I pictured you actually playing with antennas. Oh, did you turn 3G off?
What are you talking about? Why would I turn 3G off?
The app tells you to turn 3G off for some reason. Look down at the bottom of the fine print. I don't know why. You could explain that better than me.
All right. I'll check that one out later. We'll come back to it.
Yeah.
All right. So Will writes, is there an official spec sheet out there for the Vision coming on T-Mobile? It seems to be their next slider keyboard model, but I can't tell if it's going to be any better in terms of being future-proof, given the gingerbread minimum requirements that Google has published. I've not seen one. Have either of you?
Let's start with a number of things that are wrong in that sentence. and not to pick on Will, but let's start with the first line. The Vision is not official. It's not announced. It's rumored. We've seen some weird leaked pictures out of the FCC. Not leaked, just released. It's not official. Don't know if it's coming to T-Mobile. Don't know anything about it, really, other than there's a rumored name out there for Vision for a keyboarded phone that we saw in the user agent string. Speaking of things that are unconfirmed and unofficial, there are no gingerbread minimum requirements that Google has published. Google has not published anything regarding gingerbread, regarding minimum requirements, nothing. And what we've seen are rumors. You know, I have a feeling there will be some sort of, you know, bottom end, but there's nothing definite yet. And even when you go back to Froyo, when it was announced at a Google I.O., they said, look, you know, there's some phones that it's not going to run that well on, and we're not going to officially support those. So that's the way it is. Just be patient. And I, you know, it's not that I hate rumors. We have to deal with rumors. But we also have to deal with the aftermath, and that is just uneducated stuff. And, you know, patience. I have a feeling we'll see, you know, a lot more phones by the end of the year. Amen.
Yep.
Next.
Matthew writes, I'm switching to a Droid S.
I think Droid X, maybe?
It says S.
X or Galaxy S, it's really kind of up in the air.
Must have read my review when I was combining the two. Anyway, I'm switching to something, and I'm concerned about losing my apps, most importantly, Tether. Will I be able to transfer my BlackBerry license for some of my apps to the Android versions? That is a good question, actually. No, you're going to have to talk to the developer. So, I mean, that's that. Tether, maybe. Is there a flat-out Tether app for Android, the same one that's on BlackBerry, Mickey? Do you know?
You know, what they're going to have to do is, yeah, I don't think this is going to be able to work. I've thought about this, and I've actually had this question posed to me before. You can't transfer licenses typically between platforms. Sometimes you can, though I don't know that it's going to work BlackBerry to Android. I know iPhone to Android. So these ecosystems are now closing quickly. You know what I mean? When back in the like the Winmo Symbian days, I think it was a little bit easier to do because everything was just kind of like it's put out by the developer. You go to the developer's site, you download it, and there you go. Now it's all hosted between these app stores, and so I don't think you're going to be able to do it. I think you're going to lose it. You're going to have to buy it again if you want it.
Yep, probably so.
Yeah, I don't see how they could easily transfer the license without opening up a huge piracy issue. So, yeah. You know, unfortunately.
Yep. All right, who wants the last one?
I got it here. Eric writes, I was going to get the Evo, but I'm hesitant with the Epic looming around the corner. Which phone would you guys recommend? On last week's podcast, Phil said that the Captivate would be a phone that could last him for a year. Given that the Epic is basically the same phone, would you recommend the Epic over the Evo? The keyboard is a non-issue, neither is the Super AMOLED screen. My main concern is Samsung's lack of device support. HTC has an awesome development community through XDA, but Samsung has been notorious for not providing long-term support for their devices and does not have a big development community. Rooting my phone and playing with custom ROMs is important to me. This phone will be with me for at least a year, so I want to make sure I'm getting the most out of it. The Galaxy S, we'll call it the hacking community, is going to be huge. It's already big. It's on all the carriers around the world. You mentioned XDA. They have already officially put up support and hacking forums for all the Galaxy S devices that have been released. And we talked about Samsung direct support. I don't see this phone getting lost in the shadows like many other Samsung phones have. And as far as, you know, recommend the Epic over the Evo, I couldn't make that choice. So when the Epic comes out, I'm going to get it too and keep my Evo. So I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't know, Phil or Mickey, do you guys have any preference there?
I would do Galaxy S-class phone at this point, I think. For what's out there, if for my money, it would be between that or the Droid X, I think.
I think I'd go for the Evo. I'm not a slider QWERTY person, though. So I'm not, that's my choice right there. I choose it because it does not have a slider QWERTY.
Yeah, so, that's fair. And, you know, what works for me isn't necessarily going to work for you. So I normally don't like answering those questions just because there's not one perfect phone for anybody. And right. What's good for me, you know, doesn't matter, you know, for you.
That's why I graciously pawned it off on you guys.
It's a rare case when you get me to actually answer that question.
Let's listen to the voicemail.
All right, let's listen to the voicemail. We have Nick.
Hey, my name's Nick Potocic. When, if ever, is Google going to clean up the market and make it a little more sophisticated like the Apple market with better apps instead of the thousands of illegal and ringtones and everything else there? Thank you.
We've heard a lot about this lately, actually. DVD John did a really good blog post. The guys at AppBrain did one last week, I think, and thought it was really good. Here's an example for me. I'm riding in the car with my daughter, and she says, Daddy, can I do a puzzle on your Nexus One? And the fact that she knows it's a Nexus One and called it Nexus One made me very proud. So I go to the market, and I type in puzzle. Now, everybody out there in the chat room, everybody at home listening to this podcast later, go type in puzzle in the Android market and see what you get. Let's see, I'm doing it again right now. Here are the first 10 apps you get. Puzzle, and there's a lady wearing something very nice and red. Sexy Girl Puzzle, Sex Girl Puzzle, Sex Girls Puzzle 4, Sexy Cartoon Puzzle, Sex Girl Puzzle 6, Sexy Girl Puzzle 4, Sex Girl Puzzle 4, Sexy Asian Puzzle, Sexy Model Puzzle, Sexy Asian Puzzle 3, Sex Girl Puzzle 1, Sexy Puzzle 1, Sexy Girl Puzzle 2, Sexy Model Puzzle 2, Sexy Girl Puzzle 3, Sexy Asian Puzzle 1, Sexy Cartoon, and on and on. I'm scrolling, and I finally get like 30 down. I get to World Cup Puzzle 1, followed by Sexy Asian Puzzle 4, Sexy Model Puzzle 1. then World Cup Puzzle 5.
I'm running out of room.
Yeah. So you see where I'm going here. It's not good. It is a friggin' mess. And I agree 100%. It's time to clean it up. It's time for somebody to start sorting on the front end, I think. And I cringe every time I see these numbers. 70,000 apps, 100,000 apps, whatever. I don't care anymore. Somebody clean it up.
Now, allow me to be the opposite here. I don't want those apps removed from the market. Those, you know, it's let them put it there. I just want a front end that allows me to filter out,
right,
based on reviews or based on number of stars or based on certain words. I want to be able to search puzzle dash minus sexy and, you know, let it come up and just bring up titles of apps that are puzzles but don't have the word sexy in it. That's what I want. I want the sexy puzzles or the useless apps, maybe not the illegal ringtone apps. I see a problem there. But the other stuff, because, you know, it's open source. Leave it open. Put them out there. Somebody wants them, or, you know, I hope somebody wants them, or I don't know. I don't personally want to waste the space on my phone to put pictures of naked women on there. There's plenty of other ways that you can get your adult entertainment in without doing puzzles, but I'm not everyone. So I do want you to be there.
And I'm not against adult apps. I think that's fine. I have plenty of adult stuff in my life. But there needs a better way. You know, if I search for the word puzzle, it shouldn't be flooded with A, just crappy apps, and B, just tons of, you know, bad softcore porn apps. You know, you should be able to find, you know, puzzles. Here are puzzles for kids. Here are the adult puzzles. Here are puzzles that have something to do with sports. You know, it should make sense. And it's just a mess. Yep, I get a feeling they're going to clean it up some by the end of the year, maybe. I hope.
They're going to have to. Because right now we all laugh Android phone is for porn. But it's, you know, when that first came out, it wasn't really. But when that buzzword started reaching around, Android phone is for porn, now it's actually turning into, you know, just like you said, you know, when the first 50 applications in the puzzle category are, and I don't want to use the word porn, but they're not fit for children, then it's an issue that we need to do something with some filtering.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Mickey, what do you think?
I think this antenna app is bunk.
Do you really?
Well, I know exactly where my tower is. Of course I do, because I'm Mickey, and it is not showing up on here. I mean, this thing shows like the nearest 7 towers, and there's not one of these is the one I'm connected to right now. And I know it's not. I'm 100% positive, and this is bunk.
I don't like to talk bad about developers, but I got the same exact experience you're having, Mickey.
Okay, well, then I recommend it.
If the developer of this app
could be our location too.
Let me know what I'm doing wrong here, because I mean my tower is a quarter mile away from me, if that. I mean I can see it. Like if I were to go like walk out of my neighborhood, I could see it. And it's not showing up. So
interesting. I'm in the same position. I could actually throw a rock and hit mine. Maybe we're too close.
I don't know. Because it tells you your signal strength. I'm in the -60s. Which is amazing signal. Like I'm, you know, signal is dripping off my house here, and this is not right. I will definitely not recommend this application at this point. This is garbage.
Harsh.
Okay.
Fix it.
So. Yikes. And with that, I think that's going to do it.
I
was playing the music in my head.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, send us an email, podcast@androidcentral.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, 888-468-6158, extension 222. That's how Nick did it. All the others, send us an email, podcast@androidcentral.com. The entire show is brought to you by the Android Central Store, found at store.androidcentral.com. You can also give us a call, 888-468-6158 at the store to place your order. You can follow all of us on Twitter. The site is at Android Central. Phil is at Phil Nickinson. I am at TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is at GBHIL. You can follow the list of all of our other writers over at Android Central.
Amen. That's it. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with the chat room and Jerry and Mickey. No vuvuzelas this week.
Yay!
That's it. Are we done?
I reckon we're done.
We're done.
All right. See y'all next week, everybody.
Bye.
Hasta la vista.